Right?
Yeah.
Okay, revival. God wants to bring a revival to your life. He wants to bring a new beginning. You know what? And I love this topic. I love this new beginning thing because I really experienced this in my life. You know, as a pastor's kid, you know, I grew up in church. I knew that God was there. Jesus gave his life for me. He loved me and all. But it wasn't real for me until I really got to experience this. So revival is coming back to life. It's when you're almost dead and something suddenly happens in your life. Suddenly, God shows up and he wrecks your world. Right? Come on, how many here want a new beginning in your lives?
Yeah.
Right, I want a new beginning. You know, sometimes we're just like, you know.
No, it's me.
Okay, anybody know what's a car? What a car is? You know, a car, four wheels, right? Engine. Yeah, that's a car. So, Pastor Philip has a good car. So we're going to use his car. So imagine Pastor Philip. He's driving his car and he leaves the lights on in his car. What happens to that car? The battery drains out, right? The battery is not gonna last a long time, right? So sometimes we're like this. We're like a car. We come in, we receive Jesus, we're on fire, we're fired up, and then something suddenly happens in our lives that we start to run in our own strength. We start to running in our own battery, and then our battery just drains up. You know what? God wants to bring a revival to your life today. He wants to jumpstart your life. You know what? When a car is, the battery is dead, you can jumpstart it, right? You connect it, you connect it to another source, and that other source will bring life to that car, right? So that's what God wants to do today in your life. You know, probably you're here right now, you're struggling with some stuff. Maybe you didn't really even were excited to come. Well, no, not really. You guys are really excited. Come on, I want to hear you guys. Yeah, you're excited. But some people, probably one person here, all right? Their battery is really down. And God wants to really minister you. He wants to really give you a new battery. And he wants to give you a new beginning. You know, I know this story. This is a pretty cool story. It's about a pastor's kid. He grew up in a Christian church, right? His dad is a pastor. He knew about God. He knew about Jesus. He knew about what happened in his dad's life. You know what? And I think that's the greatest, for me, that's the greatest story of revival and of a new beginning that I know of. Because that's my life. That for me, that's the greatest story because it's my life and I experienced it and I went through it. You know what? I was 13 when I started smoking, hanging with the bad people. I started smoking weed at 14, selling cocaine at 15. And I was really bad. I was doing really bad things. Even though I was a pastor's kid, I was not a pastor's kid. I was in church every Sunday. I would never miss a Sunday. I would lift my hands up and I would pray and I will experience God in so many ways, but still I was empty and still my battery was not alive and my life was dead and it was not cool. I was empty. I was looking for something. I knew there was God. I knew he existed, but I was looking somewhere else. And until I was, I'm 21 right now. I was 19 back then. I went to Colombia. Main purpose was to go with my dad to a conference, but actually I wanted to buy cocaine from Colombia and just bring it to Tijuana. That was Sorry, Dad. And that was the main purpose why I went there. And God did, like, I did a connection with two people. And then I went to a conference at night, and there was this guy preaching, and he was in Ezekiel 37. He was preaching all the dry bones. When God brings Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones, and can these bones live? And then he says, only you know, Lord, right? You know that story, right? You know, that's the story that I got saved with. Because I was sitting there, and this guy was preaching. I don't even know who was that guy. He was just preaching. I was like, oh, man, this guy's... I was mad. This guy was preaching on my life, and he was saying, there's people here that are like corpses, that they have no life. And you know what? Some of you here, you're like corpses. You're in church, you go to your cell, you go to church, you lift your hands up, but you're like a corpus. You don't have life in you anymore because you have let tests, trials, and temptations like just hit your life really hard and you just give up. And you know what? God wants to do something in your life today. He wants to jumpstart your life today. He wants to give you a new beginning today. Get it? Today. And so I'm in that conference, I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this guy, and I'm following the verse on my phone, and seriously, I was like, this guy, who the heck, can I say heck? Yeah. Who the heck does this guy think he is? Like, he's talking of my life, what the heck? So I sit down, turn on my phone, and I just go like this. And my dad looks at me and starts hitting me like, what are you doing? Nothing? Just listening. No, you're not listening. I'm like, yes, I am. What is he talking about?
My life.
Breath of life. You just know that because that's the name of the conference. That was in Colombia. Like, yeah, okay, whatever. So, it was actually pretty hard for my dad that trip because we were fighting all day because I wasn't right with God. So, you know, sometimes you're fighting a lot with your leaders, your pastors, because you're not right, right? Yeah, I was fighting with my dad that like whole thing. I was just anything that he would say, oh, it's a good day. No, it's not. Like, I would just go against him. So my dad would just get mad and just say, hey, just come down. You're in front of people. I'm like, okay. But I wouldn't. So, okay, so I'm sitting there. This guy's preaching. I finished. Like, I finished, and I go back to my room. My dad and my mom went with some disciples to eat. I said, I don't want to eat with them. I hate people. I was antisocial. I was like, no. With Christian people, right? With other people, I was like, woo! Nah. But, but I was really antisocial with Christians and didn't want to go there. I stayed in the room. My dad went out. And I went to sleep. And at 2, 3 in the morning, I woke up. This was the moment that God was really wanting to give me a new beginning. Like, and I didn't know it, but I didn't really know it. So I just woke up, grabbed my phone, like always, went to the CR, washed my face. I was like, what time is it? I opened the phone. And because I was following the verse in the conference, I opened the phone, and there's Ezekiel 37 there. And I'm like, why is this getting me so mad? Why is this getting me so pissed? So God's like, this is going to do something right now. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to read it. So I start to read it. And as I started to read Holy Ezekiel, it's a pretty cool story. Since I was a kid, I loved the Bible. I loved the stories in the Bible, right? But it never became real until that moment. You know, I was reading it, and I was, wow, this is pretty cool. Until I got to this verse. You know, so I used to sell drugs. And I used to do really bad things in my dad's back. Like, he wouldn't know. Well, he would, but you know, parents, they act like if they don't know, but yeah, they know. Yeah. Like, you come in the house, where were you? I was doing homework, yeah. Oh, okay, how was it? My dad was like, fucking liar. I just walk out and like, good night. You know what? Where was I?
That was out of my mind.
Okay, so,
What
yeah, the verse. So I come, I'm doing these bad things, and everything that I longed for, it was peace in my life. Everything that I really wanted was love, peace, and all the things of the Spirit, but I didn't know that at that moment. But when I read this verse, we can go to Ezekiel 37, verse 26. This is the verse that got me saved. And that's, I love it. Okay, and it says, and I will make a covenant of peace. And it will be in, okay, you have it? Yeah. And I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant. Wait, do I have it here? Yeah. Covenant, I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. Forget everything, just go with peace. I read, I will make a covenant of peace, and I started crying, because that's something that I really longed for. It's like, damn, what the heck? This verse is seriously talking to me. It's like perfect for me. And when I read peace, I just started, turn off the phone. And I went to take a shower. I was crying. And I went in there, and as the water was just falling. I was like, Lord, if you're going to do something in my life, do it. If not, leave me alone. I was broken. I was finished. I was 19 years old. I was doing things that my dad was doing at his 21, 22, 23. No, wait, 21. Yeah. I'm 21 right now. I'm doing what he's doing. He did at his 40. Right? You know what? I broke down that day. I told God, just do something. If you're going to do it, I'll start to cry. And I remember the verse. I'm like, yeah, the wind everywhere, just come and breathe in my life and just give me a new beginning. What? And I was there crying. And I wasn't crying like some of you cry in church, like with a tear in your hands. Like, huh? Is she looking at me? No, I was crying. I was like, seriously, everything was out. I don't need to do it, right? Okay, just imagine. It was, everything was out. I was kneeling down and I was Lord, and I started to feel love and I started to feel peace and I started to feel, actually, I didn't know that back then, but I started to feel a new beginning in my life. And I was like, but then when I finished, I went out and I was like, now what? Now what? It was morning. It was from 3 to like 6 a.m. I went take a I finished my shower, just changed, and I went out. And the two guys that were gonna sell me the drugs were out there sitting there, and I saw them, and I got panicked because something happened, and I just saw those guys, and I turned back, and I go inside the room, and I go out, and I say hi to them. They look at me, and they're like, what? Yeah, what's up? They go back in the room again like 3 times and they go out and say, what's up? So what? Like, okay, no problems. Get out. And I understood. God erased that day. Like, it was sick. Like, if you were in my position, I was like, what? You don't remember me? So God eliminated everything. When I went back to Tijuana 5 days later, oh no, wait, I'm jumping into some part of the story. We went to the conference, my dad, my mom, and us. And I was there. And remember, I was really mad at my dad, and I was really fighting with him, right? So now, I'm there, and I'm lifting my hands up, and I'm singing, and I'm just going in deep, like, in the presence of God. And my dad's just looking at me like,
what?
My dad loves pictures. So he goes like this. And I'm like, Appa! I'm like, Appa, what? Come on. I'm trying to pray here. My dad's like, oh, it's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to take pictures of it. Like, he took like 50 pictures right there. I was like, okay, I'm just going to let it go. So my mom, my dad was happy. You know what? When God gives you a new beginning, he actually does it. He means it. A new beginning. Clear point. That's it. You know what? I went back to Tijuana. You know, I used to sell drugs, right? So I know a lot of people. Those people not talking to me at all. Like, I felt lonely now. No, I'm just kidding. Like, seriously, the people that I was hanging out with, they were not talking to me. And then after 2 months, my dad says, hey, you want to go to the Philippines? I'm like, yeah, sure. And here I am now. He actually tricked me from using drugs and selling drugs to preaching in campus and in schools and reaching out to young people. And you know what? That's a new beginning. Yeah. If that's not a new beginning for you, I don't know what it is. So I just can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life. I just can't wait to see. Well, you know what? There's this guy, D.L. Moody, that says, the world has yet to see what God can do through a man, in a man, with a man, and for a man that totally and fully consecrates his life to him. Let's say. You know what? And I believe the world's still yet to see what God's going to do through you. I don't know if it's going to be cool. You know what? The reason of this conference is because Pastor Carl and Pastor Schilling, once they give their lives to Jesus and just say, okay, we're done. We're good. We're going to follow you. We want a new beginning. They got a new beginning, and now we're here. So don't underestimate the power of one person. Right? Because of them, look at this. Look around. This is not normal. God doesn't want to give you a new beginning just so that you live a normal life. He wants to give you a new beginning so that you experience supernatural. You know what? And God's going to use it. I don't know. You guys in school, right? There's a lot of people in school. You know, I'm in a high school preaching in this high school. And I finished preaching, and this gingerbread guy comes up to me and says, "Hey man, start asking questions about salvation." I'm just answering. And then I told him, "Dude, you don't have to wait until you die to, like, being there, almost dying, to accept Jesus in your heart, and that your life will change and then you go to heaven. You can accept him right now, right here." And he was standing, and there was like, if you guys have seen movies in high school in the U.S., there's a lot of people walking by. And he was there, and I told him, "You can do it right here." "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And everybody was walking there. I'm like, "Really? You want to do it?" "Yeah, sure." "You want?" Okay. So, close your eyes. We did the prayer. It finished. You know what? That moment, it didn't... I know it was for his life, but it wasn't normal for me, because that guy got saved. And God used that to jumpstart my life. Because in that moment of my life, I was actually, like, going downhill in my relationship with God. But when that happened, it was, "What are you doing?" Like, it slapped me in the face, like, "Dude," right? Have you been there? You know what? God's going to use some stuff to jumpstart your life. You know what? You're going to get your new beginning, but you cannot let yourself go back to the same. All right? And I want to go ahead and find the fingers. You know what? We're young, right? We're all young. It doesn't matter how old are you. You know, Pastor Carlo was sharing the story of Caleb. He was 85 years old. He was fighting. Right? Are you 85? Is there somebody here 85? No, right? Oh, there is. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, you can do that too. No, you know what? You're going to, as long as you live, you're going to go through stuff. As long as you live, the devil is going to try to bring you down. The devil is going to try to hit you with everything that he has. And you know what? It's going to be pretty hard. I'm not prophesying over your life. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. But you know what? You got the strength of God. You don't have to let those things harden your heart. You don't have to let those things pull you away from your promised land. You don't have to let those things even bother you anymore. Just, Lord, you have this in your hands, and that's it. Just trust in God, all right? All right?
Yeah.
You know what? Sometimes when our battery is down, it's drained, we try to come back alive with ourselves, like in our own strength, in our own, on our own. And when that doesn't happen, we get frustrated, right? It's just like, "Oh, okay, I'm going to start doing my devotional now." You start, and then you can't, and then you're like, "Oh. Okay, I'm going to start praying." You start praying, you fell asleep. "Oh, I can't." "Nah." "Oh, that's just me." So, and you're trying to, "Really, I'm going to be better in myself. I'm going to be better in church. I'm going to serve better. I'm going to be better." And you're trying to get your own new beginning. But you cannot do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to give you a new beginning.
Yeah.
Right? So when you do that on your own, you're going to end up frustrated. You're going to end up tired. You're going to end up with a hardened heart. What was that? With a pusong bato. You know that song? I don't know how I know that song. Just don't ask. So I'm just going to share three things that a person needs to have before new beginning happens, before revival happens in his life. Before I start, revival is not when you go into a school and the whole school gets saved. If you think revival is that, it's not. Okay, I'm going to break it down. Revival is what happens before the people get saved. It's what happens in your life before everybody gets saved. It's what happens when in your own room, in your own bathroom. It's what happened with my life in that CR. That's revival. It's not when everybody... That's just like the outcome, the result? Yeah. That's just the result of revival. Yeah? Who wants to experience revival? Right? Who wants a new beginning?
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Okay, so you need these three things. Number one, you need to have hunger. You're right? Sometimes we really, like, Pastor Carl of the Sir Shilin can tell you, I'm really hungry always. I eat a lot, right? When I came to the Philippines, I was weighing 76, and I left the Philippines weighing 96. So I don't know what happened. I just love the Filipino food. So I love to eat, right? But I'm not talking about this kind of food, hunger for food. I'm not talking about hunger for success. I'm not talking about hunger for your own car, hunger for money, hunger for your girlfriend, hunger like a boy, a girl, I don't know what you want. I hope it's not same sex, okay? So, crucify you. No. You know what? Sometimes we're so hungry about the things of the world that's why we get lukewarm. That's why we get like all distracted from God. That's why we feel like we feel. Because you're pursuing something that is not worth it. You know what? Let's have hunger for God. Let's have hunger for a change. Let's have hunger for the Holy Spirit. Let's have hunger for a new beginning. And you know what? When have you ever experienced hunger? Hunger. Like you go out like for the whole day, you didn't eat nothing. When you go back in, this is what I would do. Open the fridge, look, close it, then go back. Hey, nobody cooked? Go back to the fridge. Let it be food. No food. So I'm really hungry. I'm looking for everywhere. I'm like under my bed. There's chips or something. Just, come on, somebody give me something. You know, I know how to cook. But I like somebody else cooking for me. I'm just kidding. No, but when you're really hungry, when you get to your house and you're seriously moving and throwing everything apart, like, oh, I want something. I want something to eat. And you're like that. You know what? We have to be like that with God. When you go back to wherever you are, like in the secret, you start looking for Him. Like seriously, like you look for food, like you look for everything that you like. You know what? God is more important than a car. God is more important than a girlfriend, money, success. So you have to look for Him even twice as harder than you do with the other things. No hunger for God, seriously, okay, hunger for God. Yeah, it's crazy, just have hunger for God. Like, I wrote down something, I forgot. You know what, revival will come the day that you want it so bad that you even forget to breathe. Like the day you want revival and you want a new beginning so bad that you don't care if you have eaten, you don't care if you have money, you don't care if you have a girlfriend or not. If you want revival, you just forget about everything else. You just, Lord, give me a revival. That's you don't pray, Lord, give me some money, Lord, give me a car, Lord, give me a girlfriend. Lord, no, you want a revival. You want a new beginning, right? Who wants to be hungry for a new beginning? Come on, let's get hunger for God. Number two is brokenness. Now, when I got to that point that I experienced revival and I experienced a new beginning in my life, I was broken. I was empty. I told God, Lord, if you're going to do something in my life, do it. If not, I'm out. That was my point of no return. Lord, I'm about to do something really crazy. If you're going to do something in my life, do it now. Like, you're broken, you're empty, you don't want, you're tired. You know what? Get tired of your situation. Get tired of your spiritual state. And start hungering for God. And just say, Lord, if you're going to do something, please do it. Don't be as rude as I was. Just say, Lord, give me a revival. Give me a new beginning. So get sick of it. Get sick of sin. Get sick of your attitude. Get sick of who you're becoming. Because that's not who God wants you to be. Right? When you will experience new beginning. You're going to start experiencing what God wants for your life. You know what? I would have never thought that I was going to be standing here today. I was looking for something else. I wanted money. I wanted cars. I wanted friends. That's what I wanted. But when I got sick of it, when I got tired, when I got empty of it, God gave me new dreams, new things. Like, I didn't even pursue a car, and I have the car that I wanted when I was doing that bad things. You know, God's going to give you, seriously, I believe the word of God, and I believe that it's true. And sometimes we read it, and we just overlook it. Oh, God, if you seek the kingdom of God first, everything will come. You know what, that's true. I left everything back, and I started to follow God. I have my own car. And it's a pretty awesome car. It's in Mazda RX-8. I love it. Like, that's a rotary engine. It's sick. I love driving that car to church. I'm starting my own business. You know what? That business is not easy because everybody's looking to get that thing. And I messaged the company and they told me, yes, you can. Let's do it. That's not normal. God's going to start to give you the desires of your heart when you forget about everything else. And then number three, brokenness. John 3:30 says, I'm just going to give you a verse so that you will know I'm a Christian. I saw that from Pastor Rich. So it says, for him to increase, I must decrease. You got to understand that this is not about you. This is not about what you want. Even though God gives us what we want, this is not about what you want. Right? This is about what God wants for your life. And you know what? I assure you, it's better than what you have planned. Okay? And then number three is cry out. You know, when I was in that CR, I started to cry out to God, saying, if you're going to do something in my life, do it. But that wasn't it. I just kept on going. And I kept on saying that this whole, like, Holy Spirit just coming to me, like the breath of life just coming. And I think I woke up somebody. They're gonna be like in the next room. I think somebody woke up, was just hitting the wall. And I was like, because I was kind of crying out. And I was like, God, give me a new beginning. Like, it wasn't like, Lord, give me a new beginning. Yeah. No, it was like, Lord, give me a new beginning. Come on, give me breath of life. Come on, I don't want to be a corpse. I was crying. I was like, I don't want this. You know what? That's the way that we should be. We should be people that cry out seriously, that really cry out for what they want. Because you know what? No person that doesn't ask for something to God, that person is not going to receive it. Because it says, whoever seeks will find, whoever asks will receive. Right? It doesn't say, if you want and you don't ask God, God's going to give it to you. Yeah. No, it's not. Like, and this is a super important thing. A revival, a new beginning, that's important. Okay, probably God will give you a desire of your heart that you didn't ask. But this is way better. Like, whoa, it's another level. So you have to ask for it. I'm like, Lord, if you really want it, He wants to see you, that you want it. Right? He wants to see you broken. He wants to see you hungry. He wants to see you cry out. Okay? Let's all cry out to God, like, Lord, give us a new beginning today. We can't wait for tomorrow because tomorrow is not sure. We have to have it today, right now. And you know what? I believe God is going to do something great in your life today. I believe God is going to give you a new beginning today. You don't have to wait. You just have to be hungry right now. You have to cry out. You really do it. Sold out to God. Lord, I don't care. I want you. All right? I'm just going to read you guys. I have 10 minutes, so. There's this guy. It's Evan Roberts in Wales, England. He was 17 years old. He would go to the mines and the outside of the mines where people went to work in, right? So when people come in, he would give them a verse and say, think about it. We'll talk about it later. And they would go in, and he would go when the day finished. He would go out there, he would sit down, and people were coming out, and they would hit him, push him, bully him around because of the verse. But he would do that every day. And one day,
17-year-old, got invited to preach in Wales, England. When he got in the pulpit, I'm like, Lord, I want something like that. Like, really. The guy, he says that he went to the altar, and he couldn't preach. He fell down on his knees and said, bend us, Lord. Oh, bend us, Lord. And you know what? Revival broke down. Broke out. Revival, like the whole city got saved. Like 150,000 people in 6 months got saved because of one person that cried out to God. And he said, Lord, bend us. Lord, bend us. It's crazy. It's crazy. Right? Like, I'm Lord, just please do something. Like this guy, he was 17-year-old. Like, you know what? Jail? No. The police was fired. There was no job for them. Prostitution and bars were closed, and they were turned into life groups, like small Bible studies. That's crazy. You know? Imagine that now in the Philippines. Because I believe that God before is the God today, and I believe God can do the same thing through you guys and through me. All right. Now I'm done. Wait, I just want to read you guys. It's a whole thing. There's another example in the Bible about revival. You know Elijah? That's how you pronounce it, right? Elijah. Okay, so Elijah. Okay, I'm going to read the stories. It's in 1 Kings 18. I have time. So it says, after a long time, it's too long. I don't know if I'm going to make it. Okay, sum it up. There's this guy that comes up to a nation. The nation turned from God, and they started to praise Baal, right? And then they're like, oh, our God is the real God, like, seriously. And then this guy comes and says, hey, no, my God is the real God, huh? So they're like fighting, and they're like, no, he wasn't fighting, he's just saying the truth. And they were like, yeah, then prove it. So he goes and says, okay, we're going to do something. We're going to get two big old... It was bulls? Yeah, it's a bull. We're going to get two big old bulls. Imagine this in real life, like right now, this time. So he says, we're going to get two bulls. You get one. You can choose it if you want. I don't care which one it is. You take it. You cut it. You put it in the altar. And then you cry out to your God. And let's see if he answers. And then they did it. Like, I think it was like from noon to down, from down to noon. But it was like the whole thing, the whole day. They were shouting, and they were like, oh, Baal, answer us. And then this guy is like, I think you should cry out a little bit louder, because he's probably busy taking a shower, you know, what God's doing, right? Yeah, so, or he's probably asleep. So cry out more. And they were still doing it, like really, like, oh, we're going to do this. Oh, this is on, dude. Come on. And, like, bring the fire. And then this guy, finished. The other God, Baal, did not answer. He's not alive. So this guy prepares the bull. He tells the people to cut it and then put it in the wood. And then he tells them to do it three times. After three times, I want to read you what he said. After three times, he arranged the wood and cut the bull into he arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it down in the wood. Then he said to them, fill our large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. It says, do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time. And he ordered, and then they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward. This is cool. He stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, the God of Israel, let it be known today that you are God of Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so this people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again.
And then it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trenches. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrated and cried, the Lord, his God, the Lord, he is God. You know what? God's going to give a revival in your life, not for the sake of just giving it to you, but he wants the whole Philippines to know that God is the real God, not Buddha, not anybody else. God is the real God. Okay? God's going to bring this nation to its knees when you fully consecrate yourself to God. All right? I'm done. I'm sorry. I don't know how to end this anymore. Okay, can we stand up? We're just going to pray for a second. You know what? And I want you to do these three things. Be hunger. What was the other one? Oh, you guys know it. Awesome. I just blacked out. You know what? Let's be hunger. Let's cry out. Yeah? Let's close our eyes. Lord, we love you. Holy Spirit, we honor you today. I pray that that you will fall upon us today, Lord, that you will burn our lives, our everything, and start giving us a new beginning, Lord. I pray, Lord, that everybody here will experience you right now, Lord. That you will jumpstart our lives today, Lord, as we're standing here, and as we cry out, come on, people, cry out to God. Lord, I want a new beginning. Lord, I want a revival in my life. I want a revival, Lord. Give me a revival, Lord. Father, I pray today, Lord, that everybody here would be changed. You know, because your word would never come back, like without even accomplishing nothing. Lord, your word has been planted, and now revival will come. Father, I ask you today, Lord, that you will come into our lives, that your presence will fall in this place, Lord. It will transform us, it will change us, Lord. It will give us a new beginning, Lord. That we may go out there and we will not be silent about what have we heard, but we will start to act, and the nation, Lord, will come back to life, and their hearts will become back to you, Lord, and they will know that you are God. Our God is the real God. Father, I just pray today for all the people here. Just pour out your spirit, Lord. Pour it on us. Let's just be connected to you, Lord, and receive a new beginning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Regards with church growth of the city Davao, God has opened so many doors to reach out different agencies.
Amen. As we cast it out to sea,
God opened a door to reach out the Philippine National Police.
Your skin, so burning stars,
as a way to be able to share and bless the.
So it's your flesh and bones, don't you let it go. You're so fine.
We started our Highway Patrol Group live group, and the regional director, regional chief, chose Destiny to become their spiritual advisor.
It's your heart and soul.
Our vision is to have leaders in our policemen. We want to change the image. Because we want nation transformation.
We started our mission not ago, a year ago.
Dalawa ko yung lalaki na yun, nagsasalita kanina. Kayo na dito sa Davao.
Sinimula namin ito one year ago nung pumasok. Destiny, first Davao. Noon kasi meron na kami sistema, kaso di masyadong nakakapada pa ang pastada. Nung na-empower kami, tapos ginawa namin yung vision at yung sistema. We are raising mga leaders ngayon. Karoon kami na-target dito sa maximum. I believe talaga mga yung 5 years na parating will be a fruitful year.
Right now, we have 90 years, 714. I've always seen this solid 9.
Ako si Noel Marcos, third year ako sa Ateneo, economics yung course ko. First year college ako noon sa Ateneo, tapos parang okay naman lang.